All right, let's kick off the week. Welcome into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, David Sis, Boombaugh. And for our Leaf edition, that no longer has the Leafs playing.
That won't stop us, though. We can generate something.
Actually, I think the ratings go up when they stop playing. Yeah. And we start talking about the Leafs when they get knocked out. Wherever you are, though, we're glad you're aboard. Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6. And wherever you get your pod when you can't catch us live. So we'll dive right into it. Plenty to talk around the National Hockey League, which we will later on in the show, including our national hour, as Soucy gets a hearing for his cross-check to McDavid. We'll get into that a little later in the show.
Canucks win.
This is cross-checking.
Yes.
But in the meantime, coaching spots are open. We expect coaching spots to get filled as early as this week, including here in Toronto, where Craig Berube's been interviewed.
Twice, apparently.
As Todd McLellan, who right now just seems to be a two-horse race.
So does that mean Quenneville is not a horse?
I don't believe so. Yeah. And we talked about this last week, where the league's open to revisiting Joel Quenneville. It just won't happen fast enough for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Wow. Do you think the league would want to keep him out of Toronto because that would heighten the scrutiny?
No, I think if they do let him back in, they want to do it at their pace, at their comfort zone. The last thing that they want to do is look like they're bending over backwards for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And that's, yet another that's, case, Sam, of the Leafs getting...
Yeah, I can't, it's not a good one.
Yeah, it's not a good look around the league that all of a sudden the doors open up because it's the Leafs that may be interested in Joel Quenneville. So now you are, you know, in a race for a head coach because there's other spots being open. That's why you can't necessarily wait for Joel Quenneville.
Musical chairs here.
Or you can't even... Really, or maybe you can, depending, and I'll get your thoughts on this, Rod Brind'Amour. I've said it right from the get-go, and this is prior to what we watched here in the second round against the New York Rangers, but Rod Brind'Amour wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah, well, they got swept, though, right? Isn't that what I heard last show? Wasn't that the Canes were already eliminated?
Oh, yeah. Who said that?
I believe that was you.
Oh, yeah.
does that...
Oh, they won one game. Congratulations.
Does that change anything moving forward if they lose in five games?
Yeah.
Well, maybe. The fact that they've been negotiating the coach's contract throughout playoffs, I think that would mean, let's say this, so they lose in five. If you're Dundon, you could say, well, you're not that great. You keep losing in five. I'm not going to pay you. You know, you want six. I'm going to give you three. And then maybe that makes Brind'Amour go, bye-bye. You're cool. None of you are cool, actually.
Is the shine off Brind'Amour a little bit with disappointing playoff runs the last 2 years?
I made my point very clear, I think, on the weekend that, you know, I think he's fancier Sheldon Keefe in a lot of ways.
I actually think that's a great point.
I do. I really feel that they're very similar sort of philosophies when Sheldon came here. Hold the puck, shoot the puck, have the puck, all the time, have the puck. I guess that's the point of the game. But there's a lot of similar sort of systems.
Rod's teams go north a bit.
Yeah, a bit more. But I just feel like it's kind of a, if you're going to be doing a crazy move here where you're bringing another coach, you kind of want like the screamy old tough guy kind of coach here now as opposed to like.
Rod's tough?
Yeah. I do, but I don't think it's, I don't know. Like, is he a player's coach?
All I know is we had Rod Brind'Amour on our show. I don't know if you guys remember this, our first year.
We did?
And one of my questions to him was, you know, I'm surprised that your teams aren't more in your image. Like, I remember I told him that I thought his teams were like puck possession, fancy teams compared to how he played.
What do you think about that?
And he was not happy with that. And
really? Was that on our show?
Well, maybe it wasn't. I don't know.
Was it Hockey Central? I don't remember this.
He sees himself as having hard-nosed teams, even though they score and they create. He thinks his teams are hard-nosed. So I think he'd be a great fit here.
We do not agree.
Yeah, I think he'd be a great fit here.
You don't watch the game very well?
Is that bad?
That's a great drop.
I don't know who that is.
Lindy Ruff.
Yeah.
But there is a race right now because New Jersey's looking for a coach.
You seem to hold on this Brindamore thing. Yeah. You think there's a chance? A puncher's chance?
No.
Okay.
I think it's a long shot at best. And I'll stick to what I've been saying all along was that the Rangers really, really pushed hard for him prior to going and getting Peter Laviolette. Yeah. And they drew it out as long as they could.
Mm.
And
couldn't pry him out.
Couldn't pry him out, even with the thought that he'd be paid. They'd make him the highest paid coach in the league.
I'm not leaving.
I could see Rod as like...
Now what changed?
Making $100,000 a year being the skills coach for the Canes or something.
Does he get tired of his owner right now with a loss?
That's the only possibility, is that the owner uses the loss, a potential loss, as an excuse to lowball him and it offends him and he says bye.
Listen, he's nuts if he's going to try to play that game. Already with him.
He is nuts.
Yeah, he is nuts.
Yeah.
So
we've established that.
Yeah.
But the terrifying thing, and this is all nice to talk about from a Leafs fan perspective here, that like, oh, like in this pie in the sky scenario where the guy that says he's never leaving and had an opportunity to be the Rangers coach and he's like, maybe he'll leave this time.
Yeah.
If you're waiting around.
You're chasing Ohtani.
And you're looking for... You're potentially losing out on your other guys like Berube or McClellan, who they love, or like Glenn. Like, all these guys are going to get jobs mm-hmm. because there's so many openings. There's so many teams looking for it. Like, you may be left holding the bag here where you don't get one of your top options because you're waiting on Brindamore. But the flip side of that, what if he does leave and you hired Todd McClellan?
Mm-hmm.
That's the delicate balance and why Brad Treliving makes the big bucks, I guess, and why you figure it out.
I'll play the other side of it. What happens if you don't name a coach this week and then you watch Berube go to New Jersey?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Or
you could get a Sheldon Keefe then.
Everything's great.
Like, you also have to play... If we name someone as early as Thursday and we meet the right price, which is never a problem here,
right?
Then you get the guy that is out there right now and you get first dibs on him. If you let New Jersey come in and swoop up maybe Berube, then now you've missed the boat.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if they are waiting to see if the Canes lose tonight before they hire someone to at least have a phone call to Brindamore and be like, we need... to have some idea if there's any chance.
I mean, that's playing a dangerous game to me. And like, the part of it that if you want to wait for Brindamore, a lot of the guys in the free agent market right now, the hot names that everybody's talking about, to me, they're all very, like, I don't know, similar.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like any of them, to me, move the needle that much. Like, yeah. People will say Berube, cup winner, whatever. Like, but... None of them really, really are like huge difference makers to me. So if you want to wait, you think Rod's the guy, maybe you do. But boy, yeah. It's a dangerous game, like I said.
So what would you do right now? Would you name Berube as Thursday or Friday as your head coach here?
Probably.
Why is it going to be so long? I can't hire him tomorrow.
I would probably
They could, yeah. But I would think that even if they've identified it, even if they...
The contract, right?
The contract signed, all of that. I don't know. Like, they just interviewed him again on the weekend.
Right.
Like, I think Thursday or Friday would give people enough time to breathe.
Time.
I'm not the person that they came here to hear that from. Who do you think they should hire? What do you think they should do? That's the question. You, Kippy. You, Barney.
Yeah. I like the thought of a kind of a hard-nosed kind of guy like Craig Berube.
Mm.
I like Brindamore, too.
Mm.
It doesn't... Listen, the whale out there would have been John Cooper, prying Cooper away from Tampa. That's not happening. Mm-hmm.
He called Jim Montgomery to tell him how to beat the Leafs, so I don't think he's coming here.
The Leafs.
That's the ultimate home run. But
if he wanted the job to open up.
That's not happening. But it's someone that could take a little bit of that warm blanket that Kyle Dubas and Sheldon have put and wrapped around the players the last few years, and Berube won't do that.
Yeah.
He'll make them a little uncomfortable.
For sure. And I do think that the team needs that. They need some discomfort. They need some they need someone a little bit different, and that's fine. Because that's sort of some of the texts I get from people around the inside of the group is that guys just, they want it to stay how it is. Everyone's getting exactly what they want right now, and they're not winning, but, you know, there's no punishment for that. So, yes, I like that idea. I do, my only qualms with Berube, and I'll be honest, are just the media side of it. You know, like, this is a tough media market. Sheldon Keefe was really good at saying very little, but still saying enough.
But Sheldon had a very good relationship with a lot of people, and you could tell that it served him well when he left too, because people were praising him, class move, and he started showing that he was a real coach towards the end, although it's debatable a little bit, you know, on things that you liked and things that you still didn't like about his coaching styles. Mm-hmm. But it opened up enough where people are really pushing him and think that if New Jersey does not get Berube or McClellan, that he would be in line to get that job.
In Jersey. The one thing I was thinking...
Boy, that terrifies me.
Oh, yeah, you go to Jersey, suddenly you get a goalie.
They trade for Markstrom, they get all their guys
Dougie
healthy.
Hamilton comes back, all of a sudden they could just be...
110 points.
On fuego.
That does concern me.
You can see that happen.
Absolutely.
That's happening. That's going to happen whether Sheldon's there or not.
Yeah, it's true. It's a good point.
They're a team that's trending upwards.
Yeah, it's a great job to get. The one thing that did cross my mind is everyone was so complimentary about Sheldon on the way out the door. Is like, I'm sure MLSE would like to have that salary off their books. Now, when you fire a guy and another team hires him, do they pay that salary then? So he makes the same amount of money, unless they give him a bit more, but they pick it up.
They're dumb. Those coaches are dumb. They're dumb.
Why are they dumb?
Because they need to be like a player getting bought out. You get fired, you owe me the $2 million, and then I'll go find another job, and they owe me $2 million. Sheldon...
Yeah, Ryan Suter's getting like seven different paychecks.
Sheldon should be getting paid $2 million from New Jersey and totally should be making $4 million next year.
Yes.
Two from the Leafs, two from New Jersey.
For sure he should.
But that's not the way it works.
No. And is that on the coaches' union or their contract structure or what?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, then if I'm
the union, it doesn't matter. Somebody made a bad decision.
Take a year off, brother. Take that free money.
Like, partially my theory is, you know, if you're MLSE on the way out the door, it's really smart to be like, this guy was an unbelievable coach. Can't even believe we had him. I guess someone's going to get...
Why are we fired him?
Yeah, you know, and then someone else maybe more eager to pick that money up.
Craig Berube will not be known as a soundbite here.
Well, that's what I mean.
Our Kippers Clippers are toast.
We're going to have Kippers Clip every day.
One interesting thing per day.
But, like, you know, there is more to being a head coach in this market. And I wrote this about Sheldon last week. There's more to being a head coach in this market than just coaching a team. And I think he grew in that regard. How to handle the media, the alumni, the yada, yada, yada. And Berube seems like a guy who wants to coach a hockey team.
Yeah.
You gotta come here and be.
I'm not saying that you gotta like kiss ass here, but you gotta work it a little bit. Kyle worked it unbelievably. Like, it wasn't hard to figure out who Kyle worked in the media.
Yes. He did, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
He had his people.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. So, and I think a lot of people. Shreliff is a great example of a guy with tremendous relationships with the media.
Just not making it that obvious.
Right. Yeah, yeah, sure.
Because everybody's got people.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. It's not making it that obvious. And if Berube can handle that, all that other stuff, then great. I think he'll be as good as any other coach, X's and O's wise. Totally fine. And hopefully a little bit more. Let's go win one for this guy.
Win one for the Gipper.
Than old Sheldon was.
So can we drill down on McClellan? Like, what do you guys know or think about McClellan? Because he seems like he's potentially one of the guys.
For me, I think what hurts him is...
Losing everywhere he goes?
Lack of success.
A lot of round... Like, I'm looking at his page here.
You know?
One, two, three, four, five times that he's coached a team that's lost in the first round. So...
Does he have any deeper success? Has he had
lost in round?
Runs?
So this is starting from 2008, 2009 with the San Jose Sharks. Lost in round one, lost in round three, lost in round three, lost in round one, lost in round two, lost in round one, out of playoffs, lost in round two, out of playoffs, lost in round one, lost in round one. Fired midseason this year.
Yeah, I mean, he'll
fit right in.
Couple deeper runs early in his tenure there. To me, he's. I don't think he's a bad coach. I don't.
I don't think he's a bad coach either.
But you know, to me, he's like the replacement level guy. He's fine.
The one thing I do like
mid
is that
good drop.
That Berube has a little bit of that, like,
I'm the boss.
Not only did I play, I really played.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I played.
He's got that hard. He's got that Rick Tocchet. Absolutely. I played. That yeah. You're telling me that I invented that crap.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, you and can call a bluff a little easier.
That's where, like, McClellan doesn't have that. There's a lot of coaches that don't have it.
Neither not did
that
Babs, you need neither
it. Not that
Sheldon.
It's a must.
Yeah.
Not that you can't win a Stanley Cup without it. I just think Berube would be an easier guy to look Austin and a few others in the eye and say,
not buying that. Give me a real effort.
I think you're trying hard enough. No.
1,054 games for Berube with 3,149 penalty minutes.
That's the edge that I also like from Berube.
That's a lot of pims.
Yeah.
A lot of pims. It's a violent.
But he's not a. He didn't coach St. Louis like that.
No, he's a smart guy. They didn't have a bunch of heavies there that ran around like idiots. They had guys that played physical and hard. But their cup winning team with Shen and Barbashev, and, you know, they were just a heavy quality
team.
Yeah.
Love that team.
All right. Good on coaches.
Yeah, good on coaches. One thing that we haven't discussed yet is the Leaf current captain.
Yes. Luke John Fox Tavares. Has an article on him today.
Luke Fox has an article on sportsnet.ca talking about
Captain Canada.
Captain Canada, which was usually reserved for Ryan Smith. Ryan Smith. Yeah. Because he was out of the playoffs every year, wasn't he not?
I actually used to call this the Danny Heatley tournament, where he was playing it every year after the Sens lost in the first round, but.
Danny tournament.
I did read the article, but how would you characterize the topic? Would it be, why did you go?
I characterize the topic as there is an awkward situation between the Leafs and Tavares right now, trying to figure out what to do with his contract, his captaincy, and then highlighting that this guy is someone who doesn't turn down invitations to play for his country. He's a rink rat. You know, this guy still loves hockey and still wants to be a part of something that matters, I think, is a relevant note there, too. Tavares has won junior gold twice, Olympic gold, World Cup gold, Spengler Cup gold. Only thing he doesn't have is this World Championship gold. So
interesting. I think.
Would you put him in the International Hockey Hall of Fame?
I think, you know, we had this conversation. I think it's going to be real hard to keep him out if he has gold in every single tournament.
He'll be in the Hockey
Hall. He's the 81st highest scoring player in NHL history.
He's going to the Hockey Hall of Fame.
We know that, Kipper, but he's going to be.
Is he?
For sure. Everybody gets in the Hockey Hall of Fame. It's not the most strict Hockey Hall of Fame. Unless you're Alex McGill and you're getting
it. No. That was the case 3 or 4 years ago. Now it's a lot harder to get in. You're not guaranteed with 1,000 points in 1,000 games to get in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
He's going
to
play another handful of years. He's going to have another X amount of points. If he finds, wins gold in this.
And maybe that's one of the reasons why he's playing in this tournament. I think, for me, just hearing that he's going over there, because a lot of people say that I'm not a top player anymore. A lot of people say I can't play top six. Am I a checker now? I'm gonna go here and not only prove that I can play, but guess what? I'm the captain too. You guys want to take the C off me in Toronto, and I'm the captain of Team Canada. Maybe that's another reason why.
Yeah,
so, I think you want to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, maybe.
Honestly, I think that's part of it too. He's a robot, and he deals with the media well.
It actually is a
couple weeks in Prague.
It's a good strategic
great.
Move for his career.
No question.
Right?
Absolutely.
And it's also in what way?
It's also good for the Leafs.
How does it help them?
Just play well and win.
And what? To look like a winner? Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
And it could help the Leafs, you know, in terms of moving him.
So he has a $7.04 million direct deposit set to hit his count July 1st.
How much?
$7.04 million.
Oh, sick.
That's just dropping your checking.
Great. Yeah. That's what Kipper's checks look like.
Which I will remind, he does have to pay taxes on.
Something happened with it?
That does come up sometimes. And after that, he'll make $910,000.
Yeah, which would make him
a very appealing asset.
For sure. As long as you have you don't care about cap space.
Right. Which, say, Columbus, Chicago, Anaheim, a lot of those teams wouldn't.
Sharks.
Yeah. Sharks, for sure.
So it won't be necessarily a a first rounder to go at like Patrick Marleau,
mm-hmm.
right? You don't need it.
No, you don't.
You're sending a guy that can score you 55, 60 points, and you're sending a guy that could look the part of a captain for Team Canada.
Yeah.
So why do I have to attach anything to that other than give you the asset?
Yeah. And, you know, you could have this conversation. I can see it happening in season as you get towards deadline. You know, if you want to retain half the hit and say he's cheap, we'll take some of the hit. You know, we're looking to do something else. But Luke's article has a list of the high-end centers to hit unrestricted free agency this summer. Matt Duchene, who's 33, had 25 goals, 65 mm-hmm. points. Sean Monahan, 26 and 59. Chandler Stephenson, 16 and 35. Lindholm had 15 goals and 44 points. Tavares had 30 goals and 65 points.
Lindholm.
29 goals and 65
points. Lindholm's looking great for the Canucks.
I know. But the point is that Tavares is not a non-asset. He's an asset.
He is.
And to your point, it's not going to cost you to move.
Yes, that's right. And he's an asset that can help you make the playoffs. He's done it every year for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yep.
The unfortunate part, he can't help you win a Stanley Cup.
Hasn't.
Or go deep in this instance here in Toronto. So you're not going to try to play that same song again next year.
I'm sure they would like to move on because that's a lot of cap space.
And if you're able to move that, I think you'd be less inclined to trading Mitch Marner to me. I don't know. The more I've thought about that, it's just how is that going to happen?
Some time for sure with but Marner.
How is it going to happen? The more I'm thinking about it, it's why is he going to waive?
Well,
because Mitch or John?
Mitch.
Why is John going to?
Why? Okay, hold on. One free agent at a time here.
Mitch.
Okay, who are we talking about?
Well, John, I just think he's going to be gone at the end of the season anyway. They're part of it. I think it'd be an easier conversation to me.
But he might play here for $2 million. Tavares is a Toronto boy.
Yeah, maybe you're right. I don't know. I think it's going to be a lot harder to get both these guys to go than I originally kind of thought is what I'm getting at here.
I think for me personally, I don't know whether or not, Mitch, if we're going to talk about both of them right now, okay, Mitch is a entirely different conversation because it's got to revolve around, are you willing to give him 8 years at $12.5 million? Mm-hmm. I don't see the Leafs going there at all. Do you?
No.
No.
I don't see Mitch taking a pay cut. Do you?
To stay here, you mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I don't see him taking a pay cut.
So where's the conclusion other than to trade him this summer?
There's no other conclusion.
Okay. Are we good on that?
Sure.
All right.
I just
Tavares, you got to get $11 million off the cap. Do you want to wait another year to do it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you don't. I know you're right. The stats you brought up there about how he is, the comparable with those guys, maybe you can, but I guess I have a hard time picturing both of them saying, yes, I'll waive. That's the more I've thought about it, that's the more. They have full
Mitch,
no
Mitch
move.
Is, Mitch wants there's to get no that money. Reason why Mitch should want to stay if he's not getting a new contract.
But you think he's going to go somewhere and immediately,
Do you know how tough it would be on him personally if everybody knew that he did not waive his no-move clause to stay here, knowing that he's not going to be around next year?
So they would.
Do you have any idea how ugly that
purgatory.
Is?
Yeah, that's a
for him.
Yeah.
All right. Nah. Convincing me. Okay.
He doesn't want to subject himself or his family to that.
And I got to tell you, if I am another team looking at the situation, I'm thinking, how do we get him? I know people talk about, he hasn't done it in the playoffs yet. It's like, he hasn't yet, but it doesn't mean he won't.
So let me give you a scenario for Tavares now.
Okay.
He says, no, I want to stay. And you're Brendan Shanahan and Brad Tree Living. You say, okay, so we'll pay you your $7 million signing bonus and your $900,000 salary, and you will play with you all season long. Yes or no? Is that what they say, Brendan and Brad?
Well,
okay, because you said no. Now we're just going to keep you.
If he were a non-asset, I could see them being like, then sit in the press box. Like, if he's going to give you 60 points and he's a centerman, you already need another centerman. Like, tough to go out and find two good centermen if you sit him in the press box. I think they would. Don't you think they play him?
No. No. I think it could get ugly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. It hasn't happened in the history of the league that I'm aware of.
Tell me something. You start with taking... Do you think you should be the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs next year?
No.
Okay, that's a starting point. It's in itself a starting point. Does John want to come back next year getting stripped his captaincy?
No, but he might value $11 million pretty highly. And
he's getting it anyways.
Being here.
Again.
Yeah.
Like, now you're starting to pin the player against the organization and the town. So we're taking the captaincy away from you, and you're saying, do it. I'm still not going anywhere. How is that a healthy environment for anybody?
It's not. And you know what actually might have some input on this? That he has already left one town in flames. Like, it already feels like he can't go back to Long Island and be feted for all the accolades he deserves. He was a wonderful Islander. But people there, he's a snake. That's his reputation. If I'm him, I'm like, look, if I got to go, I got to go, because I'm not having in my hometown a place where people don't want me around.
And that's the beauty of even if you have no move clause, that's one thing. But to have a club basically tell you you're no longer wanted here and you want to stick around and everybody knows it is not healthy for anyone.
No.
And that's where John has to go. Do I want to be the guy? You're telling me you want my $11 million. At the end of the day, you're not mad at me. It is what it was. I provided you with 80 points. It just didn't turn out to be deep in the playoffs or a Stanley Cup. We're still fine here. But John now saying, I don't move now. Now you're parading to the whole city that we could really use his cap space, and he's selfishly going to absorb it himself, and we're going to go and have a great season.
What if you weren't, you know, you don't have to say that. You can just say, he has no trade clause, and we're not asking him about it. So if you do ask him, you don't have to bury the guy.
But, I mean, one of the strategies is to play dirty, though.
Yes, and that's what we're talking about for sure.
You have to acknowledge that we need to make changes here. If we bring you back and Mitch back, and the only thing we've done is change a coach,
it's not good enough for
everybody. They will burn us all, okay? We'll all go down in flames now.
Yeah.
And, John, you're going over to Prague right now to show everybody you can still play and you got lots of juice and you're, you know.
I think you assisted on the OT winner.
You got a ton to play for here. You don't want to stick around here so we can just kick you out the door a year later or make you or offer you a million and a half to stick around to be what? A fourth line centerman?
It's tough, man, because he's been a good Maple Leaf, you know? Like, he's a low event sort of.
Okay, you know what? Okay. Been fine. Didn't lead anywhere. Okay? Didn't lead anywhere. He's okay. He's fine. Didn't get the job done.
You know, it's one thing, you know, to talk about him and act like he didn't get the job done. The team has lost in Game 7 several times.
They're all in it.
I'm
not blaming John.
And low maintenance. He says the right things. He does the right things. He works his ass off. He's everything you ask from a guy.
Very safe.
He's very safe.
Very safe.
Sure.
But
Call it unsexy if you like. He's been...
It's kind of over, though, right? It's kind of over.
Yeah.
It's time for people to kind of move on. John doesn't want to shut down at 34. He still can put 50, 60 points up. You just got to do it somewhere else now.
Can't you see John Tavares becoming Corey Perry? Not in terms of the wormliness, but the happy to play in the NHL, even if it's fourth line on a cup contender and do the right things. I can see him trying to stay in the league as long as he can.
No, I don't see him. No. When he's been the best player since he first put on skates, from the Toronto Marlies to the Islanders to Oshawa. He's always been the best. He won't be good at a third or fourth line role.
I don't know. He wins faceoffs. He's strong. No. I can see him doing it.
You've convinced me. I was thinking about this all weekend. I think with the Leafs too much, but I'm just picturing them waving and both of them saying okay. But all the stuff you're saying, you're convincing me, Kippy. So there
that both of them would waive. Yeah.
It's just time. It's just time. Don't have to make it.
DeMar sucks bad, though.
Which one?
It sucks, Marner. The trade. Like the fact that we've all agreed on the fact that you have to trade a 26-year-old 100-point winger in his prime. That part does suck.
When it's all said and done.
It makes you nervous.
Moving forward, before things got ugly again in the playoffs, you gave 92 to Willie, right? Mm-hmm. You gave 13.5 to Matthews. Like, you can't keep giving these guys
everything.
12 or 13, and there's too many of them.
The time to trade Marner was last offseason. If you were going to do
it. But that's why Shanny probably deserves a little bit more heat, because that breakup with Kyle going down the way it did took away from a pivotal time to make a roster decision that,
Willie, you know,
you had a new GM coming in going, I'm not coming in and trading Mitch Marner, or whatever.
Let's break and get the books and we can talk more about this stuff.
Okay, listen, we haven't even discussed,
what?
Easy decision to tell Johnny no longer can be the captain. Is it that simple that you're just going to give it to Austin?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, probably.
We should have a conversation.
He put it on Mitch's shirt when Mitch goes to play for Jersey.
Emelusi wants to sell some jerseys.
All right.
Well, except Pelly said he didn't want to do that.
All right. Listen, I'm not saying yes or no. I'm just saying it's worth a conversation.
Sure.
After the break, more Real Kipper and Bourne.
In-depth Blue Jays coverage with an analytical twist. Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back in studio on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right, plenty to still dissect out of the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll have that captaincy conversation moving forward here. But in the meantime, let's welcome in Jason Bukla, former NHL head scout, writer for Sportsnet.ca, and a friend of the show. Books, what's going on?
Oh, you know, not too much. Just working on a Toronto Maple Leaf organizational breakdown that's going to drop tomorrow on .ca. And as you guys can well imagine, when you go right from the top through the entire organization, including draft capital, future cap, et cetera, it's been a daunting task. And I've been trying to have as limited amount of bias as possible through the process.
Where do you start? Like, if you were to prioritize some of the things that you're talking about, what would be the most challenging or concerning to you? Is it the salary cap? Is it the lack of assets? Like, where do you begin?
Well, the first thing you do is you take a look at what your cap scenario looks like off season and beyond. That's the first thing on the pro side. And that's even before you go into the evaluation of the roster. You take a look at how much money you have to work with, what's coming off the books, what could potentially come on the books is a secondary discussion. On the other side of the ledger, you start to go through the organization and you know your own depth chart and place realistic value on what you believe your depth looks like and what it might look like to a team outside your organization. That's delicate, isn't it? Because teams tend to fall in love with their own. That's why, like when I was in Florida, for example, Kipper, and you know, like even when you and Kaber and I were at the Memorial Cup there in Shawinigan, if you remember back then, like you know, we're sitting there and Kaber's like, I'm like, Kaber, just let's let it simmer for a bit because you can't fall too in love with these guys. This is what we like now that might not play out. And for the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's been a heavy lift for me. I'm not going to lie. There's not a lot there to work with depth wise. That's a challenge, Kipper. And then Barney on the draft side, you look at draft capital, you see, you look at the cupboards and what you don't have to work with, I guess is the best way to put it. So there's your starting point. And then, of course, you go on, you know, from there to evaluate your roster. And if you're getting the value out of your roster in all positions, cap relation wise, and then you start to pinpoint exactly where your weaknesses are, where you need to beef up better and what it's going to cost to do that. So, you know, full disclosure, you know, I'm looking at the Tavares and Marner situations. I mean, I think we all are, right? The two of you guys are probably as well. And I'm looking at the value of the contract. I'm looking at the no moves. I'm looking at a variety of different things. The reality for me is that both of them will not be able to be moved out in the same calendar year. It's going to be one year, and then one's going to expire the next year. That's my guess. The other thing is that on the trade market, if I'm advising Tree and Derek Clancy for these guys in the upper management team, expect to lose a trade on paper when you're looking at Marner. So if you trade him on 70 cents on the dollar, for example, what you're doing, though, is you're opening up the coffers to spend elsewhere. So I would put it back on you two. Would the team have looked better this spring without even addressing the goaltending yet? Would the team have looked better this spring with, say, a Montour and a Zadorov on the back end instead of Marner? And those are the types of questions you start to ask yourself.
I am not equipped to answer that, but watching Ole Zadorov for Vancouver, it certainly makes you think maybe, at least you're actually getting more offense out of it. He's been piling it in the net for him. So those are the tough questions they have to have. You know, how much of a big picture view would an organization take heading into the summer? Like, I imagine Tree and Shanny going in a room. They got all the names, the magnetic names on a whiteboard, and they say, what do we want this to look like next year? What questions do we have to answer? They have so many UFAs, Books. Can they make any decisions before they find out about Marner and Tavares' answers?
That's a great question and an enormous challenge. Mm. So thank you for putting that on me, because what you have is control over those assets until July 1st. So it's a two-headed monster. My first inclination is that you're not going to get an answer. Well, I think you will get an answer out of Tavares. I think Tavares is just going to be a no. Like, he's coming back. That's my belief at this point. I do believe that Mitch might be open to a conversation. Now, the only reason I say that is because here's a fantastic player. Let's call a spade. He's an elite talent in the National Hockey League who hasn't got it done with his group in the playoffs. Okay. Not just him, his group in the playoffs. So his value out on the market is, if you're shopping him to, say Columbus, for example, there's market value there for sure. That team needs to go to another level, even in regular season. They've got Fantilli there. They got some nice parts, right? Goudreau. I know it's a smaller team, but I'm just spitballing. What I'm trying to tell you is that he might be open to that conversation, which opens up a Pandora's box of opportunity before the draft. Because if you target a lottery team and hopefully a high-end lottery team, you're definitely going to be looking at trying to get a first-round pick in return. And then the secondary asset might not make the market, super excited, but then you have to remember the money that's coming off the books, right? So it's got a lot of moving parts that way. As far as the other UFAs go, you have control of them to July 1st, but if they're not going to sign and they have interest, a known interest in going somewhere else, would you not want to try and at least trade out the asset for an extra pick at the draft, even if it's a late round pick? It's like when Hyman said he wouldn't sign with us in Florida and we knew he was going to the Leafs. Well, at least we got a 6th round pick out of it. It's a swing at least, but you have to manage it that way, because you'd want to be held or sit there July 5th holding an empty bag.
So under your assumption then, that if Marner and Tavares aren't going anywhere throughout the summer anyways, then what happens to Bertuzzi and Max Domi here? How high can you go? Can you bring both of them back, one of them back, none of them?
So I think Marner is open to the conversation, just for clarification. Yeah. I think Tavares is a no. I think you have the conversation with Marner, and that's where it starts strategically. I will say this. If they both say no and they're both back, even if you're going to look to make a hockey trade in the summer or a training camp, whatever the case may be, after Marner has the summer to stew on it and he's really not feeling welcome, human nature has to factor in there, right? When you're not welcome somewhere, or it's not that he's not welcome, it's just that the team needs a change and he looks like the sacrificial lamb. So, it's going to have a monstrous impact on the Bertuzzi and the Domi situation. So, like in my books right now, Domi was the best version of himself, fellas, in the tail end of the season. When he played a more steady, elevated role in the lineup, you got the best hockey out of him. So if he's willing to come back with a little bit of term, with not too much of a raise, I have to say, because he's not a pure two. He's not a pure two. I think he had 47 points this year. So the argument could be made if he's stuck in the second line, he could have been a 60-point guy. We might be able to say that. I could convince myself of that. But that's not a high end two. So there's going to have to be a value in that contract for Domi to return, because we absolutely have to look at our back end still. It's redundant. I know it's a conversation. And let's not forget about this. Joe Wall, I love Joe Wall, but he's been made of glass so far. So his contract's fantastic. We need another guy to come in. Are we looking at somebody who's a veteran guy who's got a year or two left on term, i.e. a Saros, who's going to cost you more money down the road? Or do you shop in the waters of an Anthony Stolarz in Florida, who had fantastic numbers? He plays the game the same way, sort of, as Wall, that big body goaltender. I know this doesn't sound like it might be important to people when they listen, but I would present to management that your defense, and you guys have both played the game, when you have one guy, a goalie who's super athletic, messy in the crease, if you will, he's a wanderer, butterfly athletic, and then you have the other guy who's that composed, between the post guy, the way that you guys defend and approach the game in front of him is different for both. I don't think that anybody can deny that. If you can have a two-headed monster in the net with size and the same sort of style of play, I think that benefits the D-core as well.
We're talking to Jason Buchla, former NHL scout, now writing for Sportsnet.ca. So, Books, you're factoring in the, you know, if Marner does get traded, that's 10.9 that you can save on your cap, but four of it's going to a raise for Willie Nylander. Two's going to Austin. Is there enough left over to go service your blue line and get Max Domi to re-up?
Well, if it's Domi over Bertuzzi, depending on what choice they make, I think Domi's going to come in cheaper than Bertuzzi. There's not enough of a difference between those two in my estimation, so I go Domi to save some dollars. The reason I do that is because my first target on the back end, if he hits free agency, and there will be a lot of teams after this guy, but I'm shopping for like Brandon Montour. We need a guy who can not only transport the puck, but quarterback the power play differently than what we have right now. Like for me, guys, Riley... I struggle to call him a pure power play quarterback. It's you know, he had 173 shots on goal. I don't think he rips pucks necessarily. Like, it doesn't stand out to me as an asset. Montour rips pucks. And he's just one of the guys that I'm using as an example here. Of course, you could trade for somebody as well. But, you know, those are the types of things that I have to see what the lay of the land looks like, see what the cost association is going to be. Because in Florida, I believe they're not going to have room for both Reinhart and Montour. So all things being equal, it's pretty hard to give up on, what, 58 goals this year? Mm-hmm. So he probably, probably Montour is the man out there.
You know, Kip, to your point there, like also the cap will go up an additional $4.125 million plus that money. So you've got, you would have a lot of money to play with. The other question I have is, if any of the players the Leafs have coming could potentially take a spot, you're looking for guys to play on the cheap, that helps you out. Cowan, Minton seem like potential names. I think Robertson could score you 25 plus next year. I think Liljegren is probably going to, you know, once again play regular minutes. You have some guys playing cheap, but will they have more coming with guys like Cowan and Minton?
Minton's going to need time in the minors. That's my estimation.
Okay.
Okay, for what he's going to play, he's a three. And to play a three, you're going to match up against middle six. I'm going to need you to take up some time on the penalty kill, win key faceoffs, all these things. I think he's capable of that. So he might get a cup of coffee, but I think he's a recall guy more than a regular next year. Cowan, on the other hand, I believe that Cowan can slide into the lineup and play even on the wing with a John Tavares. I've watched Cowan a ton this year. Obviously OHL player, like the kid just doesn't stop, guys. It's been ridiculous in playoffs and he just keeps going and going. The nice thing about Cowan, and we've had this discussion before about Nyes tracks 200 feet. Eh? I think we would all agree with that. He competes from goal line to goal line. Cowan's got more upside offensively, but he also competes from goal line to goal line and he can kill penalties and he's quick to space on the forecheck. Like he can create turnovers. Even if he doesn't bump the way Nyes does, his quickness to space and everything else, in addition to his offense, he'll score more points earlier in his career than Nyes will. They'll just be different players. So there's room for both on the lineup next year on the cheap, like you say, Borny. The other guys that I think that on the cheap on the bottom end, I mean, I think Connor Dewar is, there's a role for Connor Dewar. He's got arb rights. He's RFA. He's 800 and whatever he is, 870. So whatever his number turns out to be, I like his up ice pressure. I like that he's involved. I like that he plays fast. He's got some tenacity. You know, the one assist in the game against Boston, he boxed out in the crease. He was in the area. You know, he does some things that to the naked eye, people might not appreciate. And he's 24 years old, I believe, turning 25. So there's a guy. Noah Gregor, 167 hits in limited role, plays with pace. Like, these aren't guys that are going to be, you know, they're not the most exciting, you know, they're not the icing on the cake to get you the Stanley Cup, but they're going to come at a cost association that's affordable. And sometimes the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. And I think that those types of players fit. You know, some of the outliers for me, the Yarncrux, an outlier, you know, his number's not bad at 2.1. It just doesn't do enough for me when the games get really hard. So is there somebody out there that might want to take that on in the checking role? I don't know. Time will tell. It's going to be interesting, but you know what? The cap going up alone, just think of it this way, but the cap going up of it alone, that's a player, isn't it? So at 4.125 or whatever it is, you can actually get Dewar, Gregor, Cowan, and, you know, somebody else. They're all on your roster within that cap, just the rise in the cap alone. Those guys are on your roster with that. And Anthony Stolarz even. So all, there you got like five guys out of 20 just from the raise in the cap alone. So you can get creative outside that box.
Just one note on Cowan. And like we've seen it over the years where Toronto gets really excited about somebody. And then the reality is they got to come in and get their feet wet. He's still eligible for junior next year. He cannot play in the minors. He's playing at about $175, $180. He's not nice at 2+. He's not a heavy guy. So you got to be careful with guys coming in still in their underage years here, Books. That's my first thought is protecting the asset instead of throwing him out there and saying, oh, now you're gonna play second line and you're going to do all these great things.
No, I totally agree with it, but that's the unfortunate reality. Like when you trickle down all these conversations, Kipper, who are you going to call up from the Marlies to take on the role? Like, I really like Jacob Quillen. I think Jacob Quillen can push for a job. I like Alexander Steeves. Like, these guys are gritty, fast. They're older. You know, they can play a role. Bobby McMahon, let's not forget, he's on the rise, right? So there are situations here. I don't want to eat our own. So I totally get it. Like, if Nyes is a Great Dane, you know, Cowan's a Chihuahua, right? So they're just going to approach the game differently. That's all. He's really quick, though. He's quick and he's in and out. And he had a great camp last year. He's had a fantastic year here. And this is what stinks, fellas, about the AHL junior rule, doesn't it? Like, we need Cowan to play 20, 25 games in the minors next year and be able to play NHL games. It stinks that it's set up this way because, honestly, like, we had Owen Tippett back in the day in Florida. We had to send him back to junior. I'll tell you, like, the tip, we had to – I don't want to say we had to whip him like a, you know, like a racehorse, but it was hard because he was just too good for the league and they start to lose their attention to detail. So if he earns the job, I think he's going to be ready for it. If he earns the job. And I think he's very close, Kipper.
I think we got to go, Kippy.
We got to go. Boom. And we can do an hour and a half on this. Hey, great really job as always, man. Really appreciate your time.
Awesome, guys. Talk to you soon. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Books. Appreciate your time.
Books. All right, well, talk about the Leaf captaincy tomorrow.
Oh, well, we can do it now. We got about 2 minutes.
Do we?
When do we get to make fun of the Bruins?
Next hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next hour. So is it that natural to just hand it over to Matthews as early as September?
So the other options are Riley.
No one.
So then, yes.
Like,
he's the face of the franchise.
I know I know he is, but is he a natural leader to you? Is this, has it always felt like this was his team and he is the face of it, like through and through from puck drop to the end of the game?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's definite flaws in that logic.
Are they all following him?
Yeah.
Are they all in on him?
I don't know what they're following him to, but they're definitely following
him. Correct.
Yeah.
That's,
or do you just give it to him and say it'll naturally come
grow into it?
I think, you know, Keith Pelley was very clear saying that we're not trying to just sell jerseys, but I think they'd like to sell the 34 with a C on it.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen,
yeah. Just
it's,
win.
It's lit. That's where it's headed. You know?
Sure is.
It's where it's headed. Okay. Don't go away. When we come back, Kevin Lowe is going to join us. Edmonton Oiler. Great. Is there in a bit of a pickle, maybe a hole? No.
A dilly of a pickle?
No, not that bad.
It's a pickle. Is it a real pickle.
All right, we'll find out how big of a pickle it is when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne after these words.